The following episode of FOFOP is classified MA. It contains some coarse language, some nudity, drug references, a sex scene, time travel, terrible Batman impersonations, a Charlie Clausen pronounced Clausen-shaped hole, and mild coarse language. FOFOP advises that the program is not suitable for persons under the age of 15, and minors must be accompanied by an adult guardian or priest. This is John Deek speaking.
Hello and welcome to FOFOP. I'm Will Anderson and welcome back to the podcast. Our guest Charlie number one, Dave Anthony. Hello, Dave.
Oh, hi.
How are you?
Well, how are you?
Yeah, what's going on? What's been going on in your world? How is the state of the world?
Like, oh, it's great.
We're recording this pre-Trump inauguration, but it will go up post-Trump, so we don't really know how the world is now. But
I think it went great. I changed my mind. My opinion is that he is much more wonderful than we thought after the inauguration.
Well, you performed, right?
I did.
You got the last minute call.
Did
a set.
Every other comedian was asked in the world, and they said no. But I was like, I can't turn this down. It's a good gig.
Stage time.
So I just
and you
did,
got like 45 minutes too, right?
Yeah.
Because I didn't really have a lot of other acts. So.
I did a lot of crowd work.
And that was great fun.
And
A lot of sign work. I loved just, your sign work.
Yeah. And I dug up a lot of old just pussy grabbing stuff.
I mean, that was it. I mean, here are your chunks I loved. I love pussy grabbing.
Yeah.
I mean, that was just a real crowd pleaser.
Yeah.
The Wall?
The Wall.
The Wall.
I related to the Pink Floyd, The Wall. I did a whole thing.
I mean, that was, I thought that, to me, that was the real highlight, you know, the who's going to pay for it bit. Like, it was, to me, that was reminiscent of an Abbott and Costello bit. You know what I mean? Who's going to pay for it? Mexican. We're not going to pay for it.
Yeah.
Oh, this is a great bit.
I
love that.
It almost wrote itself.
I didn't know if your impressions were...
I'm not great at impressions, but I just felt like, you know, take a stab at it.
Right.
I mean, because we've had so many sort of famous, quote-unquote, comedians who do really bad impressions over here. So I thought I can do as well as Rich Little.
I mean, I thought Alec Baldwin was...
Well, that's the weird thing. You tried doing Alec Baldwin doing Donald Trump.
Yeah, I mean, it's a hard one to do.
Yeah.
But I just felt like it fell a little short. Okay. I love the ambition. I just, maybe the execution wasn't right there.
I'll take that. I'll take that. What did you think of Donald Trump Jr., impression?
Now, that I mean, well, both. Here's what I loved. Both Donald Trump Jr.'s appearance and the fact that when you did your impression of Donald Trump Jr., when he made that unexpected cameo and came on, and then you did that conversation where you were Donald Trump Jr. having a conversation with Donald Trump Jr.
Yeah,
and he played the evil one like really well, I thought.
He did, almost naturally.
Like he'd been like training for that role his entire life. And
well,
you played...
It was so cool that he came out holding an elephant tail.
Right, and here's the weird thing. The rest of the elephant was backstage.
That's right. He had just freshly cut it off.
Literally just, it was an elephant that thought it was going to be involved in in the inauguration.
Yeah. And it's hard to keep an elephant quiet when you're cutting off its tail.
Well, here's the thing. He'd also tied up its snout.
Right.
A lot of people didn't know that.
No, well, they know it now.
Yeah.
Now you're getting some behind the scenes stuff.
Yeah, well, that's, I mean, obviously, you know, you told me this stuff from, you know, being backstage.
Yeah, we had a conversation previously.
Previously, that's right. Other than that, how's the world?
I mean, the world's fine. Everything except for the political meltdown, it's all good. I'm enjoying everything else. Life is fine. I'm very tired a lot because I have a child. But other than that, I'm good. I'm, you know, the dollop is doing really well. I'm very happy.
It's going really well.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah. So who are these new listeners? Where have they come from? What are they like?
It seems like...
How do they feel about a place that they have just discovered that, you know, has been around for a while and has some of its own in-jokes that they've just stumbled into?
I mean, definitely not as many in-jokes as walk in the room, but it seems like Like, we get every single day on Twitter, we get people going, oh my God, I just found this. I love it. I have to listen to them all. And people are finding it like all over the place. Like, it isn't one sort of area that people are finding. It's just like recommendations and recommendations. And then someone will mention it in a news article, and someone will do it here, and someone will talk about it on a podcast, and it just keeps growing. It's really crazy.
Well, that's good news.
Yeah. It's fun.
Yeah.
And hopefully we can turn
it. Do you feel a pressure that you might run out of stupid stories?
Sometimes, but then I always find a new stupid story. Like, I know how many suggestions people have sent me and how many of those will work, and then I have a giant list, and it's like, I mean, it's unbelievable how many stories there are out there. Because it just takes one idiot in one town, right? Over time, there's just one idiot in every town.
I mean, you've stumbled upon a formula. There's been idiots forever. I mean, that's really what got us there. Like a procession of idiots, a large procession of idiots stumbling towards our inevitable demise.
Yeah. And then plus America is clearly a place that has been saying for years, oh, let's pretend like that didn't happen. Let's just act like that didn't happen. Like, there's just so much stuff that's ignored. Yeah, that was not a thing.
Yeah, I mean, there is a, what do they call it, cognitive dissonance America about what is really happening.
It's spectacular.
Like, yeah.
Like, it's mind-blowing. Okay, so this is what I want to tell you about. So we were talking about the movie. I started to tell you about it. If you don't know what happens before podcasts, two people get together and they start talking, and then one of them looks at the other one and goes, don't say anything more. Don't say, stop. So Hypernormalization is this movie by a British filmmaker, documentary maker called Adam Curtis. And it's the basic idea of the movie is like, we live in this society that, like, you don't know what's true because the truth is shifting so much. And it's not, people are acting like this is new with Trump, but Trump's just like the result of years of people lying and then acting like a great example is Iraq and Saddam Hussein. You know, there's a picture of how he's our buddy and Donald Rumsfeld is shaking his hand and giving an award. And then a few years later, he's invading and they're acting like that never happened. Like, that's just our whole, how it always works here.
Right.
So Hypernormalization sort of takes you through that process. Of like, at the beginning, it's like, it starts with Russia and how in Russia, there was sort of the same thing happening under communism where people were being told it was all awesome, but it wasn't, and they could see it, but then they're being lied to. And so you just kind of, your brain is like, I don't know what's going on, but this is how we live. And there was a guy who wrote sort of science fiction about it, and then someone made a movie about that where like nothing is real in this movie, and then it sort of turned into this thing where these guys sort of picked up on it, and those guys went through like four different kinds of government because the government collapsed, and then they tried sort of they were going to go to capitalism, and then they went to this and that, and then now they're authoritarian. So they quickly had this shift of government, so their whole world just kept changing. And so these guys growing up in that have created this thing, this style of governance in which they make sure there's never a reality that anyone can hold on to. So there's this guy named, I think his name is Surkov, and he's like Putin's right-hand man, and he'll do stuff like, they'll say, hey, the socialists are coming out and they're doing a rally today and it's awesome and we're funding it and we're supporting it. And then all of a sudden fascists will come down the street at the exact same time and they'll start fighting, and he'll come out and go, we're supporting the fascists. We're back behind them up. And people don't. And they do this constantly in Russia. Like, that's the playbook. So you never know who is who and what is what and what the government's doing. It's just this madness.
Surkov sounds like a jerk off.
I mean, he wrote a book that became popular and he never said he wrote it, but then sometimes he acts like he wrote it, and then when you ask him, he says he didn't write it, and the character in it is always changing. Like, it's the art of just mass confusion.
Well, that was the thing that Trump did so well.
Yeah.
Is that idea of just denying that he did things that he clearly did and that was evidence that he did.
But I think he did it out of stupidity, whereas like these guys do it out of like it's a shrewd plan. But Trump is just like, I can just say what, like Trump is really dumb. And so he's just like, I can say whatever and nobody, like he stumbled into it.
Right.
As opposed to a guy like Putin who is being smart about it and orchestrating it.
I mean, but you know, good on Trump for essentially achieving the same thing by accident. I mean, you got to give him props for that, right?
Hang yeah.
on. I'm just going to pause for a second. Well, like, I mean, Trump's advisors, you know, have said on the record now, you know, this idea that, you know, they even question the idea of what is true, what is truth, you know.
Right.
There are relative truths. If people believe something, even though the evidence, you know, the process that we have relied on for so long, this scientific examination of things and agreeing on that some things are actually just facts.
Yeah.
That doesn't apply anymore. And the minute that doesn't apply anymore, then we have no basis for
anything.
Yeah.
Like literally anything. Like, but doesn't that come, like, the Republicans have been doing that for a while, like global warming. Like, come on, that's scientifically, everyone's on board.
Well, even the fact what that list came out this week of, like, you know, that eight people have like half the stuff in the world, and they had the list of the eight people, and the fact that, like, that's a funny punchline on tonight shows and stuff, rather than us going, hang on, is that how we want to run the world? That right. like eight people have half the stuff?
Right. My first thought was, shouldn't we eat those people?
Right. Like, I mean, even Warren Buffett, who, like, you could at least, you know, say has tried to, like, give something back, perhaps. I don't know. I don't, like, you know, I don't know. Like, you know, he seems like the nicest of the evil people. Yeah, but, okay. You know, like.
Fair.
If I had to hang out with one of them, he'd probably be the one you'd hang out with. Yeah, okay, right?
Off. Yeah.
So, plus, his last name is the same as Buffet, which reminds me of breakfast.
And but also, it's the same as Jimmy Buffett.
His brother, right?
What?
Is that right? Warren Buffett and Jimmy Buffett.
Be,
yeah, half
no.
brothers, I believe.
No.
Yeah, that's right.
Not real.
Yeah, that's real.
Is that real?
Yeah.
That
in this modern world, it is. In Trump's world, it is. I said it. And if people believe it and somebody puts it on Wikipedia, it's real, man. That is real. There is nothing. This is a post-fact world now. Well, doesn't matter. It's perfect for this podcast.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, they were carried in the same womb at the same time.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. Mm-hmm. Yeah, weirdly, one of them was put back in because they weren't the same age. But... again, that's a fact now.
That was the
and
first.
Also that's a fact, and also I never said it.
He was the first put back in baby.
Well, not the first. They actually tried it on some other people first.
Right,
clearly they
take.
Weren't gonna, but it didn't. Yeah, yeah. I mean, but the first successful.
A lot of the babies would come back out, but he is the first to stay in there because he had to write
the willpower.
Really bad songs.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, I don't know which age it would have been, you know, different, to be honest. Would Jimmy, is Jimmy older than Warren? Warren's pretty old. Like,
I think Warren's
80.
If they're related at all, Warren's much older.
Yeah. So, yeah, yeah. So, Warren would have had to go back in.
Yeah. Right. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. It's hard for me to do my go back in math. Yeah, so, yeah, if there's no truth, that's troubling. But there isn't. Like, the other day I was on Twitter, and Piers Morgan said something.
Yep, okay, that's the problem.
He was, you know, moralizing and talking about something morality-wise, and I said, you know, something along the lines of, oh, this is, you know, weird coming from the guy who tapped the phones of parents whose kid had died. And then he tweeted back like, yeah, well, that wasn't actually me. That was somebody else. And then I tweeted, well, oh, maybe you could clear up which people, innocent people's phone did you tap? Because he clearly tapped phones,
yeah.
Right?
And there was another one. It just wasn't that one. There's
right.
A,
no,
there's
he
two.
Did. He did a couple horrible
yeah,
ones.
Yeah, there was some parents of a something. Not the parents one. There was another one.
Yeah, there was other people then cleared it up, and all these people were tweeting at me the stuff he actually had done. And then
he's done a very good job of differentiating. He goes, I didn't do that particular horrible thing, but I did do that almost similar horrible thing you've confused that thing for.
Well, that's the other thing is I was watching it, and I was going, well, this is just the Streisand effect. Like, you just made people clear up and tell me which horrible one it was. Now everyone's tweeting which horrible one it was. Anyway, so some of his followers were like, you're so stupid. You're totally wrong. You got nailed. And I was like, and then one guy's like, well, are you going to take it down because you're wrong? And I just was like, no. And he was like, well, you have to take it down because you're wrong, so you should delete it. And I was like, yeah, but people that are my followers will believe it's true. And he's like, you can't do that. And I was like, I think I can now.
Right, you can now. All bets are off. You can definitely do that now.
I can absolutely do that.
That's the world we live in. Make up some more stuff, whatever. He probably did it. You're probably not even making it up.
Or something similar.
Yeah, right?
Yeah,
it's the gist of him. Come on, you know if he didn't do that, he did something like that.
Oh, something very similar. So let's just leave it up. Yeah, I think we're in serious trouble. Because if you don't have the truth, like it's because it's the internet, right? Everyone just lives in these little bubbles. They just hear what they want to hear. They tell each other stuff and they act like it's true. And you can always find someone to write something to pretend like something is true. So I don't know what happens from here.
Well, it's like Jack Nicholson so famously said, we can't handle the truth. And that movie was a speech about a wall. So it's all coming together as far as I'm concerned, right, guys? Donald Trump was watching whatever that movie was called.
Oh, fuck, what was that movie called?
In the Line of Fire, All the Good Men.
Fine
Young Cannibals?
All Men.
All Men. Not All Men. Was it called Not All Men?
The Man... There's
Tom Cruise and Demi Moore. And we all know the movie.
All the Good Men.
All the Good Men? That sounds weird now, though, doesn't it? Like, even if that's what it's called? A Few Good Men. Is it A Few Good Men?
I think that... No, I'm thinking of all the right stuff. That might...
Is it All Right, the Moves?
A Few Good Men, right?
Step Up.
A Few Best Men? The Best Man.
The Best Man.
A Few Good Men.
The Wall Crashers.
Yep, it's A Few Good Men.
Okay, A Few Good Men, yeah.
Right, starring Tom Cruise, Jack Nicholson, Demi Moore with Kevin Bacon, Kevin Pollak. Yeah,
yeah.
It's all there.
It's an all-star cast.
It's a terrible movie. It was people trying to out-act each other.
Yeah, but all the clues for what was coming in that movie. So
yeah, that was the few that they were trying to tell us. They were trying to send us a message in the past.
Right.
You guys haven't hit the... I mean, a big part of why we're here is because of Fox News and Rupert Murdoch. Like, there's so many different ways that this started and just people not telling the truth and then other people believing it. That, like, the government did it. Parties did it within their parties. The news was doing it. Like, it's a whole...
I think about this quite a lot, and yeah, maybe it's a biased perspective or whatever. And I'm sure that if you could go through, some way graph this sort of thing, I don't even know how you would measure it. But it's hard to make a list of people who have done more damage to the world and to the future of the world than Rupert Murdoch.
I totally agree.
Like, you know, because that Fox News thing did change this world and this world we live in where, as you said, you know, we're going to burn up or, you know, the oceans are going to rise or whatever the fuck is going to happen. Mm. All those things at once in the same places, you know, whatever. Because we live in a world where the thing that we should be paying attention to, we're not paying any attention to.
Right.
I watched this David Attenborough documentary about the Great Barrier Reef. Wow. In Australia. Mm. And it is one of the most, I mean, it's such a, like, it was one of those nights where, like, there was other people in my house and I sat down and I thought the other people were going to sit down and watch this thing and then no one else really did. And, like, I was like, why are you not watching this fucking thing? This is, like, the most amazing, like, the Barrier Reef is one of the most amazing things of all time, but, and it's dying.
Yep.
But B... This man, like, he must have been 80, late 80s, 88, 89 or whatever when he's making this thing, right? Like, out in the middle of the reef, like, you know, on this thing that they can film on for 40 minutes, yeah, because that's how long the tide is out and they need to film this thing. And he's out there at, like, 89 getting off, you know, with a crew and trying, they can't step on anything because it's, like, you know, the reef and, like, filming these things and, like, actually doing this job. Like, because, you know, I've hosted things. I know how hard it is to get the take right and whatever. And he's out there on this reef with, like, water splashing around it, like, 89 in his Crocs, wearing his Crocs, you know, and hosting this TV show. Then later on in the episode, he goes down in this thing that looks like it's been designed by James Cameron to like the lowest anyone's been in the ocean. And like he breaks a record and he's like 89 years old. And then at the end, this man who's just showed you the most amazing thing, like this entire planet that is just like off, that exists, and all this stuff that exists around the reef and the reef itself, and explained like how we're helping destroy this thing, like just makes this impassioned plea at the end. And it's just him just sort of saying, if we care so little about the place that has given us life, you know, and then who are we, basically? Like, yeah. I'm paraphrasing now, but and I was just sitting there, like watching this people,
and everyone else,
and
just
everyone else, and I'm like I've had a life changing moment, and everybody else has just been going about their business, and I'm like, oh, I feel like you do not understand the journey I've been on for the last hour. I am devastated. I have in an hour, I've discovered the most amazing thing of all time. And then, like, at the end of it, M. Night Shyamalan style, it's like I've, like, gone to Harry Potter world, and, like, they go, oh, by the way, we're also, it's dying because of you and the choices you've made. And anyway, we told you that you could stop it, but you've decided not to because, I don't know, fake news. Anyway,
yeah, Pizzagate. Capitalism, actually.
Capitalism. That's this is the whole thing about even if you just take it to news, right? That's what destroyed news. The minute the news was about capitalism, you know, about ratings, yeah, and, you know, about clickbait, and that's what it is now, you know, getting clicks through and having sensational headlines that make you click through to something that, like, you know, like I read something this morning. I couldn't believe I'd been suckered by it. It was just, so written, and essentially the story, and it shouldn't have even been a story, but it was just guy on TV show makes joke, essentially.
Yeah.
Right. And not even like a bad, they were just, but they had phrased it in a way that it looked like he was, they'd provoke it. So essentially they were appealing to people who would hate this guy,
yeah,
thinking that he had done something really dickish, where actually he'd been making fun of himself on this show. And the article kind of even pointed that out. And I was just like,
that shit drives me crazy.
I was like, but we did this to ourselves.
Yes.
The media did it to ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, the mainstream media crying fake news at the moment.
Oh my God.
Like, you know, well, they're the ones who made it possible for people to believe this bullshit, because they have been running down the brand of what news was meant to be about. Like, the minute that we started putting the editorials on the front of the paper and the news, like, not separated from it, the minute we decided, and we as consumers, by the fucking way, decided, because they,
yeah,
fucking links don't click on themselves.
No, they don't.
We decided we'd rather read about Gordon Ramsay's porn double being found in a fucking foxhole dead in Britain than read about, you know, what's going on Wall Street. Like, cool. We made those decisions, yeah, you know? And, you know, when it came to news, we decided that we weren't willing to pay for the good stuff, and the good stuff stopped getting paid for. And then suddenly people, even good journalists, people who, you know, went into journalism with ideals and whatever about journalism, who now are forced to write fucking, you know, TV recaps and, you know, fucking clickbait articles about what someone said on fucking Twitter or whatever.
And it's not,
because that's how the business model is now.
And it's not even just that. It's even news organizations that I used to read and enjoy are now just telling people what they want to hear in their own little bubble.
Well, the only
as
way
opposed to the reality, and they're like
the
Mother
only way
Jones
to make a
is,
living now, though, is to pick a side and play to the fucking choir,
right?
Because that's the only business model that's left. You keep seeing these people who attack Trump, then boasting about how their circulation's gone up, you know,
yeah,
heaps after, you know, they had that kind of fight with Trump. Well, guess what? They're going to keep doing. Writing articles that bash Trump,
yeah,
but and they may, and by the way, he may give them plenty of opportunities to write, you, yeah, know, articles that should be written about bashing Trump, but you're going to just start playing to that part of, yeah, that's what the internet's like. There's just a newspaper, everyone, and you can just reinforce your own prejudices.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Where do you go now for Like, when do, where do you actually go to go, well, this is like as close to somebody giving me objective reality? Because that's what journalism was meant to be about, by the way. It wasn't meant to be like take the two sides and like just write about what each of them said and then move on. Journalists actually had a great response. I went to journalism school. I have a journalism degree. And
you did? I didn't know
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah. Graduated first in my course at Canberra University.
This must be a great time for you to live.
I had genuine ambitions to journalism, and I felt it represented some great ideals. You know, that idea of keeping the bastards honest, and
Still does with a few.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
And the idea was, as a journalist, your job was to evaluate. So what you would do, for example, with climate change was you would represent, you know, both sides of the story, but at a proportion that you felt the evidence you would required. So if it's 97%, then 97 out of 100 articles that were about climate change would represent the prevailing orthodoxy of the experts in the field, because that's what you probably would have assessed as a journalist, unless you were perhaps being an investigative journalist who went and thought, well, maybe there's something in this, and you would go and investigate that, and you would talk to a bunch of people, and you would present like a, you know, maybe a counterpoint or whatever. To that was the idea of what being a journalist was. You didn't have to blindly accept the prevailing orthodoxy, but if you felt like there was something that was not that, you had to go and compile evidence and sources and various sources. You weren't allowed to, when I was taught it, to just say, oh, you know, someone said, or background briefings, or, you know, blah, blah, blah. So we don't know who the person's agenda is, or they, if they don't have to put their name to it, how do I know it's the truth that this thing happened or that thing happened? And then suddenly we're in an environment where, well, why does anyone care what anyone says or anyone thinks? Because who knows what is true or not? Like, I mean, I stand at the supermarket, and I know, like, those magazines at the supermarket, you know, are meant to be, it's entertainment and those sort of things. But I remember when I was a kid, I feel like at least they were kind of mostly truthy. Like, you
I think they were, a little bit. They tried to, like, keep a truthful edge to it or whatever, but now it's just
clearly just made up. It's made insane. Up madness every week. You clearly know that all the stuff that's on the front cover is just not true.
Yeah,
the person who was meant to split up with the person so-and-so can't see so-and-so's kids or whatever. It's none of it's true.
None of it's true.
None of it's sourced, and they don't even care anymore.
But it's so funny when I'll just go read other news sites, and I'll be like, well, none of this is true. And I actually used to follow you. I used to read your thing. But there's something that happened in the past 2 years where everyone's just gone fucking bonkers. And even the people that on the left that I used to think were good magazines are now just spinning it the way they want it to be spun. There's very, like, now I just have found certain writers who publish in different places, and I just follow those writers as opposed to an actual news source.
Yeah, I must admit, I probably have a very similar approach to it. Like, there's some people that I, you know, and in Australia, and even in like the Murdoch papers in Australia, they're a decent writer still, because, you know, in Australia, you don't have much choice, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And there's some people who still make some sense, you know, less and less, unfortunately, fewer and fewer. But it's hard, because I don't know if in doing that, because, I mean, I like to think that I'm being objective, and I certainly do take in people who are counter to my views and stuff.
Yeah.
In fact, I really love listening to Tom Ballard does a really good podcast. He's getting a few plugs from me recently, but I've been listening to a lot of it. Uh-huh. And one of the things he does is he gets on people who completely disagree with him, you know, and have points of view, but he gives them a pretty good forum and space to put forward their point of view. And I love hearing, like, what other people think. Like, I think that what we've really stopped doing is, because if we have two different views about something, we cut off so quickly in going, you know, somebody might go, I voted for Trump. And you go, okay, well, you're a racist. And they might be like, well, I'm not a racist. You know, man. And I'm like, but there is a certain percentage of our population at the moment, and in the media and online and all those sort of things, in our groups, who immediately that's like, okay.
Right, that's their go-to.
You're terrible, or you're whatever.
You hate women and you're a racist.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's the end of it.
Right.
Okay. As opposed to a guy, I lost my house.
Right. So, because the point is, we will never understand how to bridge that divide if we actually don't understand what the problem is.
Right.
Right. So you may still not agree with the person at the end of it, But we need to have a little bit more time where we just listen to counter views to our own,
yeah,
or ask somebody going, so why did you, like, what was your, you know, your prevailing thing? You know, what was it in your life that, you know, because they're going, people are like, well, that means you overlooked racism and sexism. Okay, well, tell me why you
right.
did. Tell me why there
yeah,
was something.
What's more important to you
to
than
you,
that?
Because maybe if we solve that thing, you wouldn't be willing to look over
that's
racism
right.
and sexism. Maybe you're the sort of person that the minute, like, your shit is handled, you're first on the, you know, lines fighting for
that's
against
right.
racism and sexism.
Yeah.
Just at the moment, it can't be your number one priority because,
yeah.
you know.
Because you're living in a car.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And it's, the weird thing is like, I remember a time, because I'm also obviously very left. I remember a time when I would talk to people on the right and we would have a discussion about views in which I thought they were smart and I thought they were making good points, but I just disagree with how to handle things. Like, we just philosophically disagree on how to do it, which is totally fine and the way it should be. But most of the time now, when someone counteracts my point of view, I'm reading it and I'm going, well, this is just stupid. Like, you're not, it doesn't, it's not that you're making a point, you're just parroting shit that doesn't make any sense.
Well, that's the thing that, like, say, for example, climate change is a really good example of this.
Yeah.
Like, what the idea of, like, you know, that two-party political system was kind of really meant to represent was eventually most of the middle. Like, you know,
yeah.
the voices from the extremes, like if you were a person who had a more extreme or more individual attitude to how you lived your life, it would be represented. But the majority eventually would be represented, you know, by the nature of, you know, two parties against each other, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But the whole idea was to move us all forward.
Yes.
Like, all of us. Like,
right.
not just to say that, but to literally do that. That
yeah.
was the point of it, right? So we had to agree on some facts. And so, for example, in the old days, what you would have gone is, okay, 97% of the people we trained at university trust with, like, every other aspect of, like, our life when it comes to, you know, medicine or taking pills or flying on a plane or, like, driving in a car or whatever. Scientists, you know, the people whose job it is in this situation to
yeah.
do this, you know, like... You know, like, they get comedy writers to do monologues at the major award shows.
Right,
you know, they,
scientists don't
right.
do it.
You know, the people we've appointed for this specific task,
uh-huh.
you know, they say, hey, in our best estimations, and pretty good, 97%, you
yeah.
know, you're not going to get that for everything. You know, this is a problem. Then you have a contest of ideas about what the best way to address that problem is.
Right.
So that's what it used to be.
Yes.
You'd agree that, okay, it's a problem. You could get both sides to at least go, well, clearly this is a problem.
Yeah, this
right?
is the thing we all agree that
right.
the scientists
now,
have said.
The left might say the way to do this is, like, shut down all the coal and blah,
yeah.
blah, blah, and whatever. And the right might be, well, we believe in a more free market solution to this, that if we give, you know, a blah, 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 and this will reshape and whatever, you know. And that's what the debate would be. But
yeah.
essentially, what both sides were trying to do was work out the best way for us to solve this fucking problem that we all had.
Right. But instead...
But now, in a world where you can deny that the fact that climate change is even a thing, how can we have a debate about how do we fix it?
No, you spend the whole time fighting. That's why I keep... when I see people fighting against people who don't believe in it, that's not a battle to fight. You have to just ignore those people and try to... Because the majority of people believe it's happening.
Right.
So now, those are the people you need to talk to. Don't... Fuck the people who don't. They don't. They're too small of a minority now to care about. Just convince the people that believe in it that it's more urgent than they think it is.
But how? I mean, I honestly now start to just think and worry. Like, how do we do that? Because if we're not convinced now, like, and particularly because I felt like there was a time where we were convinced. That's the thing that scares me the most. Like, is I feel
you think
like
we've gone backwards.
I definitely think more
people believed in global warming. In
I mean,
past,
I don't know what the stats are, but I know in Australia it definitely
has
gone backwards. But I don't know what they are worldwide. But I just feel as a worldwide movement around, like, an inconvenient truth and that sort of period of time. Like, I felt that climate change was a thing that every politician was talking about.
Yeah.
In Australia, it was kind of like both sides were going to the election with, you know, climate change. Like, it was a movement that,
really?
Like, you know, seemed to be something that had a worldwide momentum. And I feel like, well, particularly in my country, that has gone desperately backwards.
Which is fascinating because your country is probably the most devastated, one of the most devastated on Earth. So you have the Great Barrier Reef, which has been annihilated this year. Then you have the, I think the mangroves on the southern part of your continent, which were wiped out this year. You had a pocket of water to the west that I believe was 20 degrees above normal for a significant amount of time, which just totally fucked up all the marine life.
So I know, but great hot tub party for Marcus. And steamed fish. It was like, it was actually, they're turning it into a tourist destination.
I mean, the cool thing
they're
about
they're going to do it every year, chucking a lobster.
The cool thing about all those trees dying is you, just the bonfires were amazing.
Amazing, you know?
And then you guys are just slaughtered by heat and fires. Like, it's getting worse every year.
Yeah.
It's, but it, the fact that you feel like it's gone backwards when that's happening, because in America, I will say, there's an entrenched group of people that are digging in their heels. But for the most part, there is a swaying of opinion as people are feeling like heat coming every summer and going, okay, this isn't what it used to be. There's definitely a, it's definitely heading in the right direction here.
I think it's gone backwards in Australia. I really do.
Well, but then that goes, you know, that goes back to
partly
the Murdoch
because
thing, right?
Yes, and partly because coal has been such a
moneymaker
for Australia, and like those old industries are still. But here's the thing.
But do you guys sell most of your coal to China?
Well, here's Dave. You don't need to explain to me why it's a terrible idea, and because China has stopped using coal, like the major people who buy it. Like, no, I get it. I understand how it works, and if I get it, I'm not sure how they don't fucking get it. But anyway. Yeah, it turns out doesn't matter how much we dig up.
Yeah.
Eventually, if the main person we're selling it to
doesn't want
stops
it,
using it,
yeah, that's not good.
That's still going to be a problem for us.
They just said they're shutting down 100 plants today.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's crazy, but this has been happening, and they've been transitioning like to like cleaner.
Because no, swiftly. They're
because
like, okay,
they
let's
have
do
to
it.
Because
the no one
air
can fucking breathe.
In China
no,
is,
it's like walking into a brick wall of just smog.
Yeah, I mean, it's like Australia has never seen a, like a another economy transition. Like in China now, like, you know, that industrialization is going to transition into a more middle-class society. It's clearly already doing that, and it's going to change the demands for the society. The middle class want clean air.
Right.
They're going to want cleaner energy, but they're still going to have, I mean, that's going to be a disaster for Australia, whatever happens in China there. But here's the craziest thing of all is, that Australia, at the height of the global financial crisis, did. By the way, I apologize to every single person who's heard me make this point about fucking 50 times on this podcast, but I do not think it can be made enough. And I would like it to be clearly on the record for when we're living in our fucking George Miller Mad Max post-apocalypse society that I at least
you said,
made this point over and
over. Repeatedly. Even in Chrome, you made it.
So,
that was a Mad Max.
We didn't go in the global financial crisis because our natural resources that were just there when the British discovered the country, and there was no one there. Just all those.
It's exciting. So just a big empty island.
Just a big empty island, and just if you dug a hole anywhere, just full of money.
Hey,
yeah. So
that's great.
So anyway, people. Yeah. So turns out that China wanted to buy heaps of that, and it was around the time of the global financial crisis.
Yeah.
So Australia was one of the countries that was lucky to never go into the recession during the global financial crisis. So Australia still doesn't have quite the appreciation of how fucked a lot of the rest of the world got.
Because interesting.
Because it didn't happen to us, it's almost like it didn't happen.
Wow.
At the time,
I had no idea.
At the time, the government in Australia proposed that because all these big mining companies were making extraordinary super profits, that they should, and because they were digging up, you know, resources that, you know,
are they going to get a tax break?
They didn't bury there, you know. I mean, those things belong to, you know, all Australians.
Sure.
So you would think that perhaps this might be a time where, as a government, you could take a certain percentage of the super profits they were making, and you could maybe use that money to transition into a renewable energy.
You're talking about like a planning for the future sort of situation.
This is what I'm thinking.
Okay.
So And well, here's the thing, because
you guys don't live in a place where you can you like transition to solar or anything like that. There's no
I mean, what you need for wind and solar is large expanses of land where no one lives that are hot and windy all the time.
Yeah.
And there is nowhere in Australia, apart from 90% of Australia, apart from most of Australia.
Right, except for the 90% of just blazing hot sun places.
Yeah.
Other than that, you don't have... Even Saudi Arabia is doing that.
But Dave, we didn't have the technology. Oh, hang on. If you've read anything about the history of solar, well, you'll know that solar was actually developed in Australia because to have to communicate across our hot desert land. And the most effective way to power the communications was through solar fucking energy. Oh, so we had it first.
Are you guys dumber than us?
It's like we threw a fucking magic lamp into the ocean.
It's just so amazing that the way a society can just act like something isn't happening, because right now it's okay. But you can clearly see that there's a drop-off coming, that the road ends, and yet everyone's like, it's fine!
But also in Australia, we all literally live, like, if the oceans rise... And this is, you know, the real problem for, you know, our part of the world, you know, first. Because obviously climate change, and this is the, you know, when people used to talk about global warming, it makes people think that it means it's always getting warmer.
No.
But that doesn't actually mean what the resulting, you know, climate and weather conditions and effects on different... I mean, there will literally be places that for a while get better.
Yeah, no, there's...
like, you know...
That's why
I mean, Alaska is going to be a really nice place to live for a while, nice. You know.
But that's the thing about why I got turned to climate change, because there's extreme weather as opposed to just getting hot. Everything gets more extreme. Like the floods we're seeing in California right now are a result of extreme weather. Just like the drought was an extreme drought we had never had before. Like everything gets a little bit worse.
Yeah,
and then some places get really cold because the jet stream starts to slow down, and then that means it starts to wobble more, and then that means that cold air comes down further than it used to, and warm air goes up farther than it used to. So it's not global warming. It is on a sense that the planet is getting hotter, but some places get colder, and then they get hotter, and then they get colder.
By the way, I have just seen in my mind an absolute fantasy, which is you presenting the local weather. Because... the way that you ran me through that, but like that. So every night they cross to you for the weather, and it's just you explaining climate change and why today's weather is directly responsible. That's what they need to do.
I know, but the problem is...
But if that's what news was, I mean, this is my point. If news was actually just news, and you were really every day going into the office and saying, what's the most important story today that we should be writing about in the newspaper?
Yeah.
Most days, that story would still be climate change.
Every day.
What's our climate change story today?
That would be leading the news every day.
Well, my point being, I'm happy for you to be a news organization and occasionally on a, you know, big terrorism day or whatever, or Super Bowl.
Right.
Whatever.
Super Bowl gets, okay.
But, you know, but on those days, run the related stories, because that's how I think the only way we do get to people now, you know, when you see the stories about climate change means you'll have no more avocado. And then suddenly people are like, hang on, what are you talking about?
I love avocados.
There was one about how climate change will really affect cocaine. And I was like, well, really? If anything's going to get the 1% interested in climate change and fixing it. Yeah.
Is it really?
Yeah, apparently. Well, I don't know. I read I read a headline and a couple of paragraphs of an article about it and assumed the rest. So yeah,
no, that whole area, Colombia, Bolivia's, I think, going to be the next nation that totally implodes due to climate change.
And the other thing that Australians are so paranoid about and hate so much are, you know, boat people, asylum seekers.
Yeah.
And literally in our part of the world, if the oceans rise, there's going to be so many displaced people from islands who are suddenly going to be on boats looking for somewhere to go and live.
Okay, it's going to happen before that. So there's a show called The Years of Living Dangerously. Do you know what that is? It's basically they're sending out celebrities to go to different places and talk to the people about, like, Tom Freeman went to Senegal, Sigourney Weaver went to China, and they discuss what's happening there and sort of the effects that are coming. And
about
climate
change. Okay.
And the guy from I can't remember the name of the show. It's a show we both like.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of like the X-Files, but it wasn't about the X-Files. There was the crazy old scientist and then his son and then the woman. Fuck.
Fringe?
Fringe. So the guy, the younger guy from Fringe, the son,
uh-huh.
he went to the Philippines. And so he's going around and he goes to the big problem there is overfishing. That's a huge crisis right now. And he went to talk to this fisherman who all his kids are like it's for generations they've been fishermen, but the kids are leaving because there's no more fish to fish. And then he goes and talks to one of the leading scientists, and she says, "Well, look, we're going to run out of fish, and when we run out of fish, there's 380 million people on these islands."
Right.
In this group of islands, and the way it's going, we'll be out of food soon.
You've probably not thought about this, but who's going to talk to Aquaman?
Who controls the fish?
Well, I mean, if there's no fish, do you know what I mean?
Like he can just be. I mean, he might have a couple of. Well,
I mean, that's who they
He would go down to the very bottom where those weird looking fish are.
Oh yeah, right.
And then he'd just like sit around and tell fish, ghost stories kind of. You know, I used to control a bunch of fish. You guys are cool, but
I must admit, I did not know there was a website dedicated to the most fucked up looking fish at the bottom of the ocean, but after I watched my David Attenborough documentary, I may have Googled a few images and like some of the things
they're fucking that are crazy.
They're more terrifying than anything an alien horror movie or whatever.
No, it couldn't be worse what happens down there. Have you seen the light bulb that hangs over its head?
They're real.
Yeah, they are.
They're real things that are on our planet.
They're terrifying.
If you put them in an episode of Doctor Who, it'd get banned from the BBC.
That's who we should be fighting a war against.
Right.
Those monsters. So he's talking to this scientist, and she says, "Well, look, there's 380 million people here, and we're going to run out of food, and that's not very far off." And she goes, "And the way the islands are, you can't plant. There's not enough places to plant food or create food for people." So she's like, "There's going to be a mass exodus of people. That's what you guys are looking at, and that's why China's building that fucking fake island. They're getting ready for this."
Why are the fish? What's going on with the fish? Are they just overfished?
Over completely.
So can they just not get the fish to fuck more?
Well, then there's just when you're fishing away the fucking supply, you're grabbing the ones that are fucking. You're grabbing the ones that aren't. Like you're just grabbing too many.
No, I know. I mean, I remember when I stopped eating fish because when I transitioned to vegetarian, I was one of those fish and chip crits for a while.
It's kind of what I'm doing now.
Yeah. And when I stopped eating fish was literally when I was reading a thing about I loved prawns, as we'd say, but shrimp, right?
Yeah.
And when they're catching those, like literally 92% of whatever they're trawling up is what they don't want and just is dead but gets thrown away. I cannot justify this.
That's what they do with tuna. Like, with tuna, they just have these giant fucking trawlers that just grab everything, and then they take the tuna and everything else is dead, and they throw it back in. Like, it's just unbelievable. And yeah, with the prawns or shrimp, whatever country you want to talk about them in.
I mean, you know,
they just tear up the bottom.
And the other thing is, tuna is like one of those things that I miss still. Like, tuna is delicious. Like, and do we really want to leave the next generation not tuna?
I think we do.
Like, do you mean? Like, can you imagine? Like, oh my God. To explain to like Finn or whatever, you're like, "Hey mate, there was this thing called tuna, but unfortunately, we love to go to Japanese restaurants with trains, and so they would make all the food and it just go around on a train. And I guess if no one wanted it after a bit, they had to throw it out or something. But anyway, there's none left. Anyway, it was delicious."
That's why you live in the PT world.
Yeah. Our cats enjoyed it a lot, though.
Oh, cats love
it. Cats love
it. We used to just give cats cans of tuna.
Yeah.
Pretty great.
Tiny little cans.
The thing is
tiny, a lot of packaging, really. Not much tuna.
Tiny, tiny. A lot of cans.
A lot of cans.
The thing about
fish is, could not recycle them.
The fish will always come back, unless, of course, you know. I mean, the other problem is the ocean's becoming more acidic, so a lot of the shelled creatures are not going to be able to exist.
Well, it's different, yeah. I mean, the nature of that sort of stuff, when the planet changes, you know. I mean, part of the problem with the reef is the changing water in different coral is, like, you know, one of the particular coral is, you know, killing everything else because it's good conditions for it, you know.
Oh, one coral is killing the other coral? Yeah. Because it's like, oh, so it's like the master coral now.
Yeah.
It's like a Hitler coral.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. the real thing is, you're like, well, maybe that, you know, like there's part of us, you go, well, that, the coral doesn't look as good as the other coral.
Yeah.
And like, there's a part of you that's going, am I just making an aesthetic choice? Because I've really chosen, like, I don't know anything about like the life of that coral or like whether it's like, you know, whatever, but I've just gone, oh, don't trust this coral. This one's taken over.
I mean, at some point you just have to go like, all right, we'll take the ugly coral. Because we need coral. We have to have coral. Coral, it's like the most abundant and diverse place in the ocean. That's where it all begins.
I cannot hear you say coral without thinking that you're doing an impression of fucking old mate from The Walking Dead.
Do you still watch that show?
I've been finding it pretty hard to,
yeah.
But I did a catch up just like a couple of weeks ago. I caught up to date. And you know what?
Did you
it
sit and watch?
It got me to a place that, okay, so you asked me.
Did you sit and watch or did you play with your phone or on your computer while I was on?
No, you don't have to sit and watch. Like I mean, in fact, I don't know how you would. Yeah. There's many times where nothing's happening that like nothing.
No.
And not in a good nothing happening way, just in a nothing is happening.
Just nothing at
all. Like, I mean, I get it, because, like, you know, how many times can...
You could have a good storyline in
there. I know, I agree.
Yeah.
Like, but I also agree that part of what they're demonstrating is maybe what that sort of life and whatever would be like. But the way that it's actually done, like, you know... anyway... And old mate, the Negan.
I thought you were being really racist for a minute.
Negus.
He's such a bad character.
There's a guy called George Negus who was a prominent Australian journalist.
Ridiculous.
Negan, yeah. I normally don't mind that actor. I've seen him in a few things where I've enjoyed him. But
yeah, he's fine, but he's so over the top. Like, it's just like, what is happening?
I was like, what is this? This is not... And then like that whole Rick storyline, and I know he's meant to be shattered and whatever, but I'm like... I don't get what this is, really.
I don't want to watch a crybaby.
I don't. And even and now when you're back, I'm like, oh, yeah, but...
I get it. You were sad. Now you're mad. Yeah. All right, go get him,
seriously,
Tiger.
Seriously, hold it together a bit. Why are we leaving this guy in charge who clearly just is on an emotional fucking roller coaster? Yeah. Like, there are heaps better people with more stability.
Everybody.
Give the kid a go.
Give the kid... What about the sword lady?
Sword lady? I mean, why?
Fucking give her a shot. Let her lead this shit.
How do you feel about that romance? Sword lady and... Captain
Rick. It's no different than a soap opera in which eventually everybody has to fuck everybody else because that's the only way they can go.
Let's take it away from the show. Let's a bit more of a hypothetical, right? Do you think in those situations, like, what would be your mate, like, you know, sex, mating, love, philosophy? So you suddenly find it, because what we've seen, you know, over the journey is people having sex with each other, it's forming new relationships, even having children, you know, and some people, you know, deciding that probably that none of that stuff's for them because, you know, they're in a world full of fucking zombies and, you know, that might become problematic. What do you reckon your approach and philosophy would be?
So I was one of those people who never really... I dated one or two stand-ups, but then I always didn't want to date stand-ups because I didn't think that you fuck around in your world, because then it gets, you break up and it gets a shitty situation, it's messy. So I would apply that same thing to my group in the apocalypse, with the extra added addition that the lady I'm in love with might get eaten
right
by a monster. So,
well, I mean, you're really setting yourself to, you know that kind of, I mean, hacky, like comedic riff on marriage, which is that idea that, you know, you're really saying, who would I like to see die? Right.
Yeah.
Like, and, but in that world, you're really fast forwarding that, like, you know, that process. It could happen like tomorrow.
Yeah. But then also if you break up with someone.
Yeah, that's awkward.
And, okay. So, and
do you have
then
to
you,
go to a new tribe?
But also,
like,
do you
now you're in the
but what if you're fighting
and,
zombies and you need them to cover your back?
You?
Are they gonna?
Yeah,
are
you gonna trust them?
Because then all of a sudden a zombie's biting you and she's like, well, you shouldn't have fucking told me that thing and said that shit to me. And you're like, right. What? You could have saved me. It's hard. I mean, exploring romantic relationships in the apocalypse.
But then again, like, you know, you don't know if you're going to die any day. So, like, is there not a part of you that's like, well, I now live in this world where my lifespan might be limited, so I should enjoy.
Might as well.
Yeah.
Have at it. No, I just don't think so. I think, first of all, I'm very well equipped to handle the apocalypse.
You're ready?
I don't
I'm
know.
Going straight to this hot tub in Australia that has the only remaining boiled fish. That's our first supply.
I don't think you would think that way. I mean, I just think that would just mean I would want to fuck people, but not be in a relationship. Why isn't there any polyamorous shit going on?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I guess so. Like, I guess you could be. Well, I mean, no. Some of the kind of badder dudes have had more, like, well, probably, you know.
True.
You know, but seem to have, like, you know, harems or,
right.
Like, you know, a bunch of, you know, ugh. Whatever.
Yeah.
Problematic
well,
things.
Well, that's the guy.
A bunch of problematic things.
The guy now has, like, 5 wives, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so, you know.
Nah, it means he's bad.
I mean, there's lots of reasons he's bad. His acting, I think, is the main one. And I don't think it's even his acting. I think it's the whatever he's been told or allowed to do with that thing.
It's also the writing.
Right.
The words he's saying are fucking ridiculous.
Yeah. And so, like, I mean, it's clearly a choice that someone's made, you know, along the way.
Yeah.
And, like, he's actually doing a pretty consistent version of that character.
Yeah, it's
like,
just...
Like, you know, if he was doing Frankenfurter in Rocky Horror, I feel like I'd be pleased with the performance.
Yeah.
You know, he's pitched it about right for that.
He's
but.
Got it right on that level. But he's like someone out of a Marvel comic book. Like, it's all of a sudden there's this crazy, he should have a cape on and a...
Or like, if there was some really decent reveal about that there was some actual genuine motivation for him approaching his leadership
right.
in that way. Like, if the, you know, if the, they had, and here's how you fill in fucking some of your time on your show. Give us a convincing backstory. Play him like that
yeah.
and have him be like that. But at some stage in your fucking interminable fucking flashbacks and flash fucking wherevers, like, tell the backstory of clearly what he was like when he first,
yeah.
like, you know, escaped from the world and why he, like many of the other characters in the show, made the decision to become the person that they now are at the place we find them.
Yeah.
Right? Because we've seen it. And the bits where the show still gets me are the bits where you actually genuinely see, I mean, and they're few and far
they're
between
few
now,
and far between.
But a moment where somebody clearly went, well, and this is what I think is the most interesting thing about the show is that idea of going, here is how my approach to surviving, like, this is how I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's stay with this group, you be part of this group, be dominant, be a leader, be a follower, be a whatever.
Yeah.
But you can clearly see, you know, I'm not going to kill people. I'm going to kill everyone. I'm going to whatever it is. You know, those moments are still interesting to me.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know why I keep watching it, though.
I mean, sometimes just because it's on.
Right? I mean, that's the only reason. Did you watch the other one? The spinoff?
The first couple episodes.
Yeah.
It was, right. Yeah. I mean, well, I don't really like The Walking Dead, as it turns out. So, you know, I was probably being overly optimistic about how much I might enjoy.
I watch both of them and I just, they're usually on in the background when I'm working on the dollop and doing stuff. And I just look up and go, oh, is a guy getting eaten or whatever. Or, oh, he's saying bad things to that guy. They'll kill him in the end. Like, it's just... But, you know, it's there's not a lot of there's TV I can watch when I'm doing dollops, and then there's TV I have to concentrate on, and I don't do anything while I'm watching it, and it's definitely a on in the background show.
The best one for that, I watched 6 series of this recently when I was writing period. A TV show called Suits. You ever heard of that show?
I watched one and I couldn't.
Totally great background show though.
Yeah,
because it's like it's a procedural, but it is interesting enough and fun enough that like you'll actually keep watching it, which is what you want from one of those programs. Something you'll keep you at your desk, You know, and just engaging enough, but not so distracting that you can't get your work done.
God, what is television?
When you find one of those sweet spot shows.
What has television become? My wife walked in the other day and she goes, God, network television is so awful. I just had on for a minute and I was like, what is happening? Do you watch any network shows?
Yep. What do I watch? Survivor, obviously, but not, you're talking more about like...
scripted. I still watch,
but this is a bit heritage because I know it's a terrible show, but I still watch Law and Order SVU.
Oh, you do?
Oh, yeah.
Still on?
I'm in for the long haul on that. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's the remaining one. It's the one that's still going.
Is it all new cast now?
No. Olivia Benson's still
there. Oh, she's still there?
Yeah, she's still there. Although the most recent episode was her contemplating whether she retire or not. But then at the end, she was really like, nah, probably not. So,
no way. I'm making $250,000 an episode.
Yeah, Mariska Hargitay or whatever her name is, right?
I watch Gotham.
I gave up, and that, I mean...
It got better.
Did it?
Yeah, I actually started to like how they completely leaned into the batshit crazy.
Okay.
And then it became more interesting, because it's just fucking insane now.
I might revisit that. I occasionally dip back into Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and catch up with a few episodes, even though...
I've never seen that.
No, but it's not worth your time, but...
Well, I don't want to watch Agents of... If I'm in the Marvel world, I want to watch... The superheroes, not the guys that are...
You don't want to say, like, what happens behind the scenes?
No, why don't you just make one about the accountants of the superheroes?
Yeah.
What about the guy who does all their taxes?
I mean, I would watch that. Like a little spin-off. You know what I mean? Just as a fun show. Like, it's really, like, a bit more like a Better Call Saul or whatever, because he's, like, kind of a... But he just happened to, like, luck into doing their taxes. Because you know what? Still got to keep your receipts. And when you hulk up, sometimes you lose your receipts. You need a good accountant or guy who can replace some receipts. You know what I'm saying?
Now I'm in.
Yeah. You see Nick Fury meeting with him at the end of one of the other movies. Now for our most dangerous mission, Hulk's taxes. Just hands over a shoebox. It's like...
What do you mean I owe $5,000? I thought... Oh, sorry.
This is ridiculous.
What do you watch? Any other? You still watch Arrow, right?
Oh yeah, is that a network show?
I consider it a network. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Arrow, yeah. The Flash. I watch the Flash. So
So you're like the perfect guy for the because everyone else is bailing, but you're in on some.
Well, I mean, I just watch a lot of stuff. Yeah. Like that's the thing. I also have been watching some good stuff. I'll tell you that I enjoyed. Do you watch Sherlock? Are you a Sherlock watcher?
I bailed. Third season? Which one are you talking about? The American?
No, not the American one. The British one. Stephen
Moffat
one.
Third season, yeah.
So I liked the first episode. They did 3 of this series.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked the first one. But I was a bit like, maybe this show's like still good, but like maybe not, you know, what I want from it anymore.
Right.
And then the next 2 were 2 of my favorite episodes of anything that I've watched in the last year. I thought the final one in particular was just a really entertaining as fuck, like hour and a half of like clever, well-written, interesting, rewarding kind of good payoff over the series. If it's the final time they ever do it, would be a excellent final episode if they want to end it now. And I was right. Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
I have not read
at all what other people said. Like,
Seen anybody saying really anything about it.
Well, sometimes, like, also with like something like that, like there are some things I want to know straight away. Like when I was watching Westworld, I like read everything. I was listening to every podcast. Yeah. I wanted to know stuff and then make up my own mind and whatever. Like, anyone who thinks that I'm not a person who is willing to listen to a bunch of different opinions and then make up my own mind about what I think did not understand how I watch Westworld. Because I was willing to go on Reddit boards. I was willing to soak up so much fucking shit. I'd never been on Reddit before.
You hadn't?
No. Westworld got me to Reddit because I heard that was where the most interesting theories that were.
Yeah.
So I went to Reddit. Like I've heard all the weirdest opinions of all time. And then you just make up your own mind after you've heard them.
Right.
And the moral of that is Westworld is the answer to life.
I still haven't seen it. I still haven't watched it. Have you watched The Man on the High Castle?
No, no. What did you think?
I like it.
Okay.
And I think that the finale this year was one of the, I mean, it was just a well-written finale.
I'm looking for something new to watch. I started watching the Night Manager the other night.
The Night Manager.
Yeah. It won a, Tommy Hiddleston.
Yeah.
Tommy Hiddleston.
Yeah.
And Hugh Laurie. And they both won the Golden Globe Awards for it.
It's just like a mini series, right?
It's a mini series. Yeah. Like it might be 8 episodes or something. Yeah. And I had no real idea what it was about, but I didn't realize it's kind of set around modern day events. And, he's a night manager hotel when anyway, I think I don't want to give too much away because I actually, if you don't know what it's about.
Yeah.
I think that's actually, I enjoyed.
Better too.
Yeah. It was better to not know what it was about.
Well, because it's about a night manager, right?
Well, that's because it's called, I mean, and that's what really threw me off because it gives you no real indication of what, and it is. Like the main character is a night manager, but me telling you that is giving you no idea of what this story is going to be about.
It goes beyond him just being a night manager.
It does, it turns out. It turns out it's not just about what you would imagine.
I was looking for something simple, just about a guy who does stuff at night.
Yeah.
It's job.
Yeah, well, the prequel, the week before this thing happened, will be terrible. Just him competently managing a hotel. But yeah, I've only watched an episode, but it feels like something that might actually be. I've heard that's one of those ones that I've heard a little bit of buzz about people saying was a good watch, and so far it seems like it might be interesting.
Maybe I'll check that one out. I tried Animal Kingdom, the American.
I watched the first episode of that.
I watched the whole first series, and I was just like, wow, this could have been so interesting and good.
Yeah.
I mean, the casting right off the bat is you're like, oof, this is, it's very pretty boy. Rather than,
Yeah.
And by the way, I think if there's a family of criminals, they're not all going to be fucking hot.
I mean, why would they be?
Right.
Like, because if you're a hot person.
Yeah,
you can steal money from people in legitimate ways. Like, literally, our entire society is based around the idea that if you're hot, particularly if you're a family of hot, oh my God, are you kidding me?
Oh, yeah,
you don't need to go into crime.
No,
you're wasting, nothing. You'll make heaps more money, like, just
being hot.
Can you walk 15 yards and turn around?
That's all
We've
got
a job for you. Any chance you can put clothes on? Oh, you're wearing clothes now. You happy to stand around for a few photos? Here's millions of dollars. Hot family.
Yeah, and then at the end of the final episode, it was like a sort of someone was doing sort of like a long con sort of thing, which I just fucking
you hate a long con.
It's
the one thing we know about you, Dave, is you hate a long con.
God, I hate a long con. It's always so disappointing when you get there and you're like, oh, you knew what you were doing the whole time. Oh, fuck you.
Did you, and that's, I think, perhaps why Sherlock might be hard watching for you.
That is one of the reasons, that season I was just like, ugh, okay, it's a whole thing.
Yeah, okay. And you know what? I think I can totally understand why maybe even these new episodes you might find annoying for that reason.
Yeah.
Here's what I would say. They kind of flip it back on its head so the person who thinks, there's some good messing with at least who's doing the long conning, but that might not be enough for you.
No.
Because it's still long
cons. I hate a reverse long con.
I mean, it's really, to be honest, it's double. It hasn't made it better.
Oh,
yeah, right?
you were long conning? Yeah. Well, I was long conning. And then I throw some at the TV.
Yeah, okay. No, I don't think I'm ever going to convince you on the long con.
All right, I'm out. I'm out. All right. I won't watch it. By the way, you wanted to bring up the texts.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for reminding me of that. I need to grab my phone. I'm going to grab my phone and then we'll finish on that. That's a good one. All right, we're about to finish up. But Dave, do you have any... well, I don't know when this is going to go up. Because...
So I'm on at midnight tomorrow, isn't it?
That's probably not going to happen. But good on you. You're on at midnight?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. Who are you on with?
Posehn and then a woman. I don't know who she is.
In the membrane? That'd be great.
Yeah. Posehn in the membrane.
Well, that'll be fun times.
Yeah.
Still waiting for my... at midnight.
Why don't you come with me?
No, I'm leaving tonight.
Oh, you are. So, oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. That's it. Yeah. So
that's
why I don't know when this is going to go. But what we're trying to do this year is put up an episode of Tofop or Fofop every single week. So at the moment, there's been a couple of Fofops because Charlie's been on a holiday and we've been having a break. But it'll be back. Well, I don't know why I'm telling people this because this is in the future. So, anyway, point being, we're hoping there'll be an episode every week of the podcast over the year. So this will be one of those. But we can tell people, obviously, about the dollop that people should be... Although, you know, now, you know, I mean, I've even had a little mini dollop effect on my career. Because...
Well, yeah, people come out,
well,
right?
Certainly on the road. Like, that's certainly cool. When I was on the road, like, yeah. Post... Because those live shows went up, you know, reasonably close to us doing those shows. So I still had like 3 or 4 weeks of touring after that. And yeah. I definitely had people coming out to the shows who said they heard me through the podcast and kind of tracked me down and then saw I was in town and came and saw the shows.
That's
so
awesome.
So that was really great. Yeah. Like, I really appreciate that. So that, you know, there may be nobody who's listening to this podcast who's never heard of the dollop. But anyway... If you have not, listen to The Dollop. And, of course, you guys have got a book coming out in May, right?
Yeah, May 9th.
And it is called The United States of Absurdity.
Absurdity, yeah.
And the illustrations are by James Fosdyke.
The great James Fosdyke. And if you want...
Who is now doing individual little things for... So there'll be a little cartoon of you and I in the show today.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
of
he's
this?
Doing one for
oh,
each of...
Oh, my God. That's awesome.
Each of the episodes. So that'll be fun. And yeah, we're doing a whole bunch of new exciting things with the podcast. But, you know, Charlie and I will tell you more about those when we're doing TOEFOP episodes. You may have already heard a few of the ideas and things that are coming that way. I am on tour. Critically Will, which is my new show. Adelaide, Brisbane, Hobart, Melbourne, Sydney may be on sale by now.
Are any of those the festivals? Which ones those are festivals?
Adelaide is Adelaide Fringe Festival. Uh-huh. Brisbane is Brisbane Comedy Festival. Hobart, I'm doing a night at the Spiegel Tent as part of a festival they're doing down there.
Oh, and look, like check out Hobart.
An 8-day sort of festival or something like that. So I'm doing one night. It's the night before I open at the Melbourne Comedy Festival. And then I do a month at the Comedy Theatre and 2 big shows. It's really exciting. I've never played... the Melbourne Arts Centre, and it's where I first saw Billy Connolly, and kind of that was the night I decided that I wanted to be a stand-up. So
that's cool.
I'm doing 2 shows. The final 2 Saturday nights of the festival, my show is at the Melbourne Arts Centre, which is really cool.
If you want to know what stand-ups really like, it's stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then... I think on the 15th, April the 15th, it probably has been announced by now, that is the night we'll be doing the TOEFOP live show at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. You know, huge range of people who'll be in town, not Dave, because he came last year. And, you know, people would expect it 2 years in a row.
Yeah, you can't do that.
We don't really have the budget for that. So, but thank you for being here, Dave, on this podcast. And look, I hope that, you know, the world has not, you know, gone so badly in the, you know, 4 or 5 months between our conversation now and when I will see you next.
You never know. I might be a refugee, one of the people coming on a boat.
Don't come on a boat.
I'll fly.
That's fine. You can fly in. Jet ski. And no one said anything. Bring a jet ski.
If you come on a jet ski, are you guys like, he's one of us?
Oh, yeah. Come in on a jet ski. They won't even check. Oh, they'd be like, he must be, oh, he's a cashed up bogan. That's fine. He's got a jet ski. Me too, mate. All right.
Oh, could you start?
Are you going to do the text?
Oh, that's, fucking hell, I'm terrible. I got my phone and then I forgot. All right, so this happened this morning because we had decided we were going to do today, but you had messaged me last night to, this morning?
This morning.
Okay, this morning at 6:44 it actually says on my phone. There we go. Uh-huh. What time is three good? And I messaged back, perfect.
Uh-huh.
And then you messaged, you should be awake. You don't have a child. So, okay. Now, it's just, all right. So, already, already there's so many things that I just, because firstly, if you don't think I'm, like, going to be awake, what the fuck are you messaging me at that time of the morning
I just figured you'd see it when you woke up.
Okay, all right. Okay. But still, like, it seems a bit unreasonable to be surprised by a response that, like,
Also, we should point out that the way I did it, you should be awake. There's no period.
No.
And then I just hit return.
Yeah.
So it starts another line. It's all out of whack.
Oh, well, the best thing is, yeah, so I mean, to really describe this, to overly describe it because it's worth it. You should be awake. Then, like, he's pressed return, but then also press one space in because it's not... It's not directly under, so he.
No, it's a
it's
skew.
Like return and a space, and then you don't have a child.
Uh-huh.
And then you've like realized that you've made that mistake.
Look, but look at the time difference.
No, it doesn't have my.
Phone oh, I realized timing, it so. 45 minutes later. I picked up my phone and I looked at it. And I go
right.
Oh, that doesn't make sense.
Okay, so 45 minutes later, Dave has decided. Oh, of course. What I really meant to write was. Shouldn't, right? I assume.
Yeah.
Well, I say I assume because what you've then written in your correction is shouldner, which, as far as I know, is also not a word. Like, your correction was also incorrect. In fact, I would argue that I knew what you meant from the first one, but the second one, the correction made it slightly less clear. Like, well, shouldner. Like, that, how does that even come out? Like, that's not an autocorrect, because that's not a word.
And that's just bad.
Shouldner.
That's just terrible.
It's the Irish. Oh, you shouldner be awake.
You know what's funny is I remember it was one of those things where I think it tried to autocorrect, and I was like, no, no. And I hit, like, no, don't autocorrect. And like, then it came out as that. But then I remember seeing it, like, 5 minutes later, and I was like, oh, I give up.
So, well, that was what I was going to ask you. That was literally the question I had was, because I was interested that you had corrected the first one, but then the second one that was clearly a worse fuck up than the first one, you'd just gone, no, well, I guess we'll just leave it at that.
I was like, this isn't working at all.
I don't want to see what I do next. Mashes keyboard against face.
Blank at me!
Dave's having a stroke. Dave, am I going to cry for help? Maybe I was the bad friend. Maybe I should have checked if I just... Are you having a stroke? Are you cool? Are you cool, man?
I've been doing morning drinking.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty great.
All right. Well, thank you. Could you sign out for us, please?
Oh, faux stop.